Hey guys, so for today's video, we're gonna be talking about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Our attitudes towards sex have become warped and perverted. There's just icebergs of filth floating through every house on Wi-Fi.
What happens when you're in a relationship and the one cheats on you?
Why am I always over here feeling alone and single and not supported?
Here I am being a good Christian, you know, doing what the God says.
It's one of those things where the pornography addiction turns into something else. You can't have something like that in your life without it growing into something else.
It just felt like something that we were forced to accept, and we never got a chance to have a conversation about it. That message that your sex is the thing that makes you valuable, that is your currency, that limits women's choices.
So if you're constantly bombarded with great waves of filth, it's really difficult to remain connected to truth.
So we've been talking about the Christian vision for sex, which is holistic and which is integrated with who we are as people and how we treat others around us and even our spirituality, sexuality, spirituality. There's a connection. Now, tonight we thought it would be really helpful and important when we're talking about sexuality to talk just briefly about the church and the whole issue of same-sex relationships, of homosexuality. And it's one of those things which the church has got a really, really bad history over, a bad reputation. And what I want to do is just look at that. And the way that we're going to do that is we're really going to do it through some conversations. Now, as part of the leadership of this church, people are often asking me, Philip, what's your position? I mean, what's your position? Clarify your stance. What's your position on same sex? What's your position on gay marriage? What's your position? What's your position? And I'm going to tell you what my position is. I'm going to tell you what my position is right now. This is my position. If you have been waiting a long time to hear this, I'm going to tell you loud and I'm going to tell you proud. This, and I'm not ashamed of this, I'm not worried about this. I don't feel that I have to apologize for this. I would die for this. This is my position. My position is this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's the only position that we need. That's the message that we want to have. Our entire being and purpose as a church is to let people know that there is a God out there who loves them. He's the good, good Father. He loves them so much that you are of incalculable worth to God. He gave his very self. He came in human form as a man, Jesus Christ. He lived, he died, he rose again. That God's love knows no bounds, that it is unparalleled, unprecedented. It is unqualified and it is unconditional, that God loves every single person. And I don't know what else you will leave this building with tonight, but I want you to get this. God loves you and we are all about God's love. When it comes to readings of scripture and interpreting what the Bible has to say on things, really the way that the Bible is written, the way that the gospel message takes place is that there are certain things which are of primary importance that we absolutely must die for, metaphorically, sometimes physically. But there are other things which are of less importance. So Paul, one of the early Christians, he wrote to a bunch of early believers in the town of Corinth. And he wrote to them this. He says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Everyone say first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. So Paul says, look, this is of first importance. This is the stuff you absolutely, positively must have. This is the stuff that changes lives. This is the stuff that makes the difference. And this is of first importance. Jesus lived, he died, he rose again, and it was witnessed by people. It's a real historical event. And we're here today because we believe that Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus rose again. That's of first importance. Now, there are other things which you could say they're of second importance. importance. And when we come to talk about different readings of Scripture, there is scope for people to have different viewpoints and different opinions, and that's absolutely fine. For example, let me give you one quick example. I believe that Jesus said to us, turn the other cheek. I believe that Jesus said to us, love your enemies. I believe that Jesus said, don't pay evil with evil, but bless those who curse you, bless those who persecute you. I believe that Jesus overcame violence, hatred, and wickedness through sacrifice, denial, letting himself be put on a cross. I believe that. I absolutely do believe that. But I am aware that there are certain Christians who actually believe that it's okay to go to war. Now, as I think of that, I think, well, that doesn't mesh with what I see Jesus saying. But you know what? It's of secondary importance. And there are Christians that I love and respect. My parents would fall into this category. They say, well, you know, you can justify war. And, you know, I don't buy it. I think that we should all be pacifists. But I believe that my first thing is to love my brother, love my sister. And we can disagree on these things. We actually have people in the church, in the armed forces. We have people who work for arms manufacturers. And we just work things through together. Being a Christian, being in church, doesn't mean we have to agree on everything. It means we do have to love one another. And we do have to love the world that we're in. So we're going to hear some different things. And actually tonight, again, there's not going to be any pronouncement other than God so loved the world. That's what we pronounce. But we're going to hear some viewpoints because as I reflect on this, it seems to me that the gay members in our church often don't get a voice and don't get to be heard. And this is sometimes the kind of thing that we feel sensitive around because there are heated emotions about these things. And people feel very, very strongly, and rightly so. But tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to have a conversation. We're going to hear from people and hear their perspective. But I just want you to know this, if you don't know anything about us as a church, that our focus is, well, it's this. It's find, love, follow, serve. We want to help all people find Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're black or white, young or old, male or female, gay or straight, or anything in between. The message is for everybody. We think Jesus changes lives. And our prime directive is to go and share the unconditional, unimaginably vast love of God with everyone so that people can find Jesus. When they find Jesus, then we want to build them into loving communities, communities that say we're the same, we're brothers, we're sisters, we accept one another. We don't necessarily have the same viewpoint on every last thing, but primarily we're a family, just like I'm not getting rid of my parents because they voted for Brexit. We still do family, and it's okay. Family is stronger than those kinds of opinions. But then when we found Jesus and started to live in loving community, we do want to challenge one another. How can I serve? How can I follow Jesus? How can I bring my morality and my financial decisions and my sexuality and the way that I treat people, how can I bring that under the lordship of Jesus Christ so that ultimately we serve the city? That's why we do love running. We want the marginalized to hear this message. We want the city to know that they are loved because Jesus loves us. So that's our position. That's where we are as a church. We're a church that says, this is of first importance. God loves us. Jesus died for us. He rose again. Pretty much everything else is open for discussion. And what we do is we hold the tension of different viewpoints being around. And we hear from one another. We love one another. And we make space for one another. So I've got two of my favorite people in Metro who are going to be speaking. You're going to hear one after the other. First of all, we're going to talk to Jamie. And we've been showing videos of people's stories throughout this Metrosexual series, and there'll be another one next week. But the difference this time is that you're going to hear and see the video, and then we're going to interview Jamie. And then the same with Alexandra, her video, and then a little interview to find out a little bit more of her story. So watch the video, about 6 minutes long, then lose your minds and welcome Jamie to the stage.
It was always there. It wasn't something that I came into in later years or something I was thought about. It just very, what felt naturally to me was just a case of, oh, I'm attracted to this person, not this person. My name's Jamie. And pretty much around the age of 11 to 13, I started realizing that I had attraction to the same sex. It was scary. Trying to navigate what that meant. Why was I different to other people? Everyone else was interested in girls. Why didn't I fit in? The way I dealt with not feeling like I could be accepted by the larger society was trying to fit into a culture that lived outside of that, outside of the barriers of marriage and children and what people consider to be the norm. I did not appreciate or have any time for church. Everything I've read, things that have been said to me were not coming from a loving place. They were telling me how I didn't belong and I wasn't a part of anything good, and I needed to change everything about myself. And in some cases, there was no hope for me. And I was something to be disgusted by or just pushed aside. I was a bad thing, and it's all I would read about. It was all I would see. And because of that, I built a fence and I built a resilience to church. It was an enemy to me. It was an enemy of who I was as a person. It wasn't until my friend Andy introduced me and invited me to Metro, and I came in and just saw a room of people who wanted to know me and love me, that I was actually able to see what the love that Jesus provides is about, and was able to experience that for myself. It hit me like a brick in the most exciting and brilliant way. And it made me realize, actually, all the feelings I've had before of feeling alone, feeling lost, they're over. So quickly, within the time I started going to Metro and started trying to understand who Jesus is, I was so quickly grasped by how much he loves us and what that love can do. So just through instantly noticing just the day-to-day ways of how my life would be different, or the way I would think about people, or the way I would want to help people, or the way I looked at my own behaviours and how can I do better for the people around me. It was just so exciting and exhilarating, and it just kept coming and kept coming, and it just instantly knew, this is right. This is what I want in my life, and I need to do something about it, and I need to make a commitment. So I, within those few months of coming to church, was like, I need to get baptized. This needs to happen now, because I don't know it all, but this is the right starting point for the rest of my life, and I'm so excited to see how that plays out. Some people feel like it's about picking sides, and that now that I've become part of a Christian family, that it means that I've left the LGBT family, and that's not the case. I haven't left those people. I haven't forgotten about them. I still care about them, and if anything, I love them more, and I want to do everything to make them feel supported and acknowledged. It isn't about taking sides. It's not about that. I want our church community to be a place where, wherever your background is, wherever your story is, you know you're welcomed and you know you're loved. And as soon as you walk through those doors, you can feel that. It's a tangible feeling. I'm still on a journey with understanding my sexuality and how that plays into my faith. I'm fully aware that there are many different opinions and different discussions and viewpoints on what that means. But my priority is love and that is my goal, and that is my focus and my drive. I'm sure with time I will develop those conversations and develop those discussions, but again, it's about love. I serve at this church, I'm a part of this family, and I've got to let that be my guide. I've got to let Jesus's love for me be my guide. And with time, who knows, I might get the answers I need, but in the meantime, I'm just happy. And I've got to thank God for that.
Oh, Jamie, you got such a bigger clap than I did.
It's good, wasn't it?
Don't get used to it, okay? Jamie, it's great to have you. I still remember the time, like it was yesterday, 18 months ago, you first walked through the doors of this church. You had blue hair and a Sonic the Hedgehog obsession. Just tell us a little bit about your Sonic the Hedgehog credentials.
I mean, I am Europe's biggest Sonic fan, so...
And that's official.
That is official.
You won a prize and everything.
Yeah. Makes me feel so special. Big nerd in every sense. That hasn't changed in these years now. I'm still a huge nerd when it comes to Sonic.
Yeah, well, I said this is a church where we can bear with one another.
Yeah.
The kind of the weird things that we all do. So if I had said to you 18 months, or if someone else had said to you 18 months ago, that you would be here in a church... on the stage, speaking about God's love, what would you have said to them?
I would have refused that comment. I would be like, no, that's ridiculous. Because that's how I felt back then. The idea of the church and stuff, like, well, that's not a place I belong. It's not somewhere I'm welcome. So, no, I'm not going to be speaking about it. I don't want to be involved with them. I was so pushed away from it. So.
You mentioned that in the video, that the church was your enemy. Is that you being a little bit overly dramatic, or is that literally how you felt? And if so, how did it get to that point?
It's not an over-dramatization. That is how I felt. It was something I felt strongly about, and it's through years of seeing things in the media, being told in the streets, being having conversations with people, and just always getting this notion of, no, the way you live your life, who you are as a person doesn't fit in, and you can't be a part of it. And some people would say it in a nice way, some people would say it in a less nice way. So with the years, you just build up this resistance because you've got to... I felt like I had to protect myself. Mm. And as a result of that, it means that I wasn't willing to even listen.
Okay. Because we talk about Christians being... it's a message of love, God loves everybody... that's not the message that you heard.
No, it isn't. And it's a great shame, but it was not a message of love. It was not, that was not the message I was receiving. It's not a message that I could see out. If I looked out in the world, that's not the message that was being shouted out.
And do you think that's the same for other of your friends?
Yeah, I think it is. I know a lot of people who belong in the LGBT family, and even now, it's what they see and what they hear. I know media can be very select in what it presents, but those sometimes can be the louder voices, and they can plague people's thoughts, and they can affect the way people think about things in a really negative way.
Okay, here's a question just on this. I mean, we as a church, I mean, that for me is devastating. It's absolutely devastating because I have dedicated my life to letting people know that they're loved. And there's a whole section of society that all they hear is that they're not loved. What can we do as a church to make sure that that message of love is paramount and that it is heard?
I mean, the simplest thing, and it's what made me come into faith, was... like when I walk through the doors here, I know so many people, and you go into church and however lovely it may be, it always plays in the back of your mind, but will they accept me? It's always this thing going on in the back of your head. But when I came in somewhere like Metro, it wasn't a question. It didn't come into it at all. It was just a case of, oh, you're a person. Hmm. We love you. It's that simple. Wow. It is that simple. We struggle with it, but I do think it's something as simple as that makes a huge impact on someone because they don't have to start second-guessing themselves or pretend, do I admit this? Do I hide this? They feel comfortable to be completely open and have that discussion begin.
Okay, so you talked about being brought here by a friend, Andy. Andy, also a gay man. How important was it to know a Christian who was welcoming? And what was it about him that was compelling for you?
I mean, again, the fact that he never brought up questions, but also because it was someone I could relate to in terms of where we were in our lives. I think that's so important that we can speak to people who we know and be completely open about what Jesus means to us. It's not a question. It was never a question between me and Andy of, you know, what's right, what's wrong. It was just a case of my life is in this amazing place and these amazing things are happening. And that is what drew me in those conversations. And I could see in someone else, oh, this is how good your life is. And you're not having these debates and questions. And well, they're not in a way that holding you back, mm-hmm. not being an obstacle in your conversation with God.
So you can have the discussion, you can do the work, you can think things through, but it's not the first thing on the agenda.
Exactly, and that's exactly it. It was never the primary thought in my mind.
So just, you know, 18 months ago, your life, would you say that growing up, I don't think this came into the video, but would you say that you had a spiritual hunger or was everything fine? Or was there a case of, I'm looking for meaning, I'm looking for answers, I'm looking for faith, but the church is the last place I'll go?
My family, I didn't grow up in a particularly spiritual household. It was never, we would occasionally go to church at Christmas, that sort of thing that everyone does. But it was never something prominent in my upbringing. But I think even through my teens and growing up, there were times where I felt alone and lost, and I did try to seek out things. But every time I began to try to look into or seek those things out, I was always brought back with these same things that we've discussed that just instantly thought, I'm not strong enough to fight, so I'm just going to back away.
Okay. So you had a hunger, but you weren't looking to the church for answers. Now, I said in my little prologue that as a church, we want to help people find Jesus and then build them into loving communities, and then together explore how we can follow Jesus more in a more committed way. How, over the last 18 months, or I guess it's just over a year since we baptized you, how has the Holy Spirit led you? And when you look back on your life before, what's your perspective on the way that you used to treat people?
I've always tried, as growing up, I've always tried to be someone who is supportive of people, loving of people. But it is difficult, and it is a struggle, and you do face conflict, and no matter how much you try, it can be really difficult. But it's only in the last year, 18 months, that I've actually been able to do that at a greater level. Like, times where you deal with people or you deal with a situation or a group, and before I would just be like, I don't agree with you, so I'm going to shut you down and walk away. Now I'm like, that whatever the difficulties I have, I put that on God. God helps me deal with that. And now I feel like I'm actually able to speak to these people, to engage with these people, and genuinely love them. Not in a way that you're like, oh, well, I have to. Like, you genuinely want to. You genuinely want to help people. You genuinely want to support. And I couldn't have done that before.
So I'm loving this, and I just can't get enough of your transformation. I've seen you grow in front of my very eyes. What does Jesus mean to you?
That's a big question. Jesus has shown me that we talked about the primary focus of love, and he's shown me what that really means. And he is a person who encourages me to do better by that every day. And I've always wanted to support LGBT rights and make those people just, you know, we are an equal member of society. And I actually think that's what Jesus is about. Jesus is about people are people. There's no hierarchy. There's no, like, you're better than this person or the other person. It's, we are all the same. We are all treated the same. We are all loved the same. So that's who Jesus is to me.
Fantastic. Okay, last question. It was really, really interesting seeing you in the video talking about you don't have all your questions answered. And I guess you probably have people come to say, what's your position? What's it like living in that tension of, I don't have everything sorted about this. I'm not quite sure what my faith means, what the Bible says. I don't have all the answers. What's it like living like that?
It's an interesting one because I am on a journey trying to understand what my faith and what my sexuality means together. And that's not a journey I've finished. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a journey I will finish, but it's a journey I'm on. And I'm okay with that because I'm having these discussions, I'm praying, I'm learning, I'm trying to develop that and work out what that means. Sometimes everyone's need for me to say, oh, well, this means I'm going to behave this way or I'm going to do this. That can be more stressful than just going for it for myself, because I don't have the answers sometimes. And people.
So do you think that people, for their own benefit, want you to define your
position? They want me to define what it means, and that can be louder. And the thing is, you hear all these voices, you hear all these people saying, well, I think this, or I think that, or you should do this, and you shouldn't do that. And it's just white noise. Mm. It is just white noise that I have to tune out, because otherwise it distracts me from the voice I need to listen to, which is Jesus.
Brilliant. I lied. This is the last question. What would you say to someone, similar situation to you, they're gay, they're here, or they're watching online, and they're looking for answers? What would you say to them, someone in the position that you were?
All I would say is, I've been there. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be rejected, to question who you are, to be bullied, to be not part of something. And it's difficult, and I get that. But like I was talking about this white noise, just if you put that white noise aside and what these people think and stuff, like I said, I know where you've been, and just know there is a God. He is your father and he loves you. You are his children and he wants to know who you are and every different thing about you that makes you, you. So just think about that. Don't worry about all this nonsense and stuff that's going around. I promise you, and I wouldn't be sat up here open to criticism if I didn't believe this in every bone of my body, that you are loved. And you are welcomed.
Fantastic. Let's give him a round of applause. Okay. We're going to hear from Alexandra next, so watch the video and then welcome her to the stage.
I absolutely had no inclination whatsoever that I would be interested in women or anything like that. I always fancied boys growing up. That was never something I was sort of suppressing or thought was something that, oh gosh, I need to just not think about that. It just really wasn't on my radar at all. And then I met Emma. My name's Alexandra. I grew up in a Christian family, grew up in Germany, and we went to church every Sunday. I loved my church, went to an American Army-based church, very evangelical in Germany, moved to England, spent a little while finding a church, and then went to a wonderful church for all of my teenage years. Was really active in that church, and loved going away on weekends away, was in the worship band from, I think, age 13 or something, and really loved doing that. It was a wonderful church. I got really, they were very encouraging and had lots of freedom in the worship, and it was really lovely. So I was very much personally of the opinion that being in a same-sex relationship was not something that God thought was a good thing, Yeah, definitely thought that, but had never really had to think about it properly, never really had to confront it, didn't really know any gay people, didn't have any gay friends growing up, so it wasn't something I really had to actually think about. It was just something I, oh yeah, God doesn't think that's good, but hadn't really looked into the effect that has on people. Yeah, so I met Emma when I was 19. She was my boss at work. And we very quickly became just the best of friends, and I just wanted to spend all my time with her all the time, and then lots of, gosh, cut a long story short, she told me she loved me and I didn't know what to do with that. I was very confused by it all, thought that wasn't an option for my life whatsoever. Thought that I would have to either give up being a Christian, which just for me was not an option, or then had to give up Emma, which then suddenly also became like it couldn't be an option either. And yeah, that was a really hard time because I knew God was real. That wasn't ever a doubt for me. I knew I had a real relationship with Him. But I also were very, I was going to say very quickly, but not very quickly. I very slowly became aware that I was desperately in love with Emma also. And so just couldn't quite work out where to put it all. For the first 6 months or so, I didn't want to talk to God about it or really look into it. That was too scary for me, in case I found out answers I didn't want to know. But I started doing a bit of research as far as interpretations of the Bible and scriptures, and how that all worked, but then knew I just needed to talk to God about it for me to feel on an emotional level that this relationship was something that I could continue to pursue long term. So Emma and I are getting married in 3 months' time. I have absolute confidence and peace that God is going to bless that marriage, that He's happy with that marriage. I realise that's not everyone's opinion in the church, and that does come with its challenges sometimes. I think there are a fair few people that I've, you know, encountered myself that say, oh, you're just interpreting the Bible to make your life more easy. And I see that, I understand why that you'd look at my life and go, well, yeah, of course you just change it to make it easy for yourself. I don't believe I've done that. I think that's something people have to decide for themselves. Metro's been really amazing for me. It's been a lovely place for me to go to church. It's been a place that I felt not only accepted, but also welcomed and wanted. And that was just really wonderful for me to find, to have a place where I felt safe. But yeah, I'm wanted. I think that's the biggest thing, is to go, do you know what? People want me here. There are churches that go, okay, yeah, we accept you, you know, love the sinner, hate the sin kind of thing. And I think there just needs to be an element of, of looking at people whose life or lifestyle or whatever you want to call it, you don't understand, and that hasn't been your experience of life. And to go, okay, I haven't had that life experience, talk to me about it. And it comes, I think, from both sides, just going, we'd see this differently and that's okay, let's talk about it. It is a very sensitive issue, but I think having a conversation where there's no judgment from both sides is really, really important. My vision for Metro as a church kind of in the community is to be a church who isn't scared to have that conversation, and for us as a church to educate ourselves and go and have conversations that maybe aren't that comfortable, but just with love. Yeah.
Again, huge applause. Next time, clap for me like that, okay? So, Alexandra, the most important thing, you are, in 3 months' time, doing love running.
3 months today? No, 3 months today I'm getting married.
Yeah, but love running.
Yeah.
In 3 months and a little bit less.
Yeah.
So you've literally signed up to Love Running the week before you get married.
5 days before.
5 days before. So would you say that there's any excuse for anyone else not to do it?
My maid of honour's freaking out. She's like, you might twist your ankle, you're about to walk down the aisle.
Okay, that was just a cheeky plug. It's really great. I love what you said about feeling that you were wanted in the church. And I remember the first time that I met up with you and we met up for a coffee and to hear your story. And I meet up with everybody that I can who wants to be part of this church. But I remember meeting you and you were quite guarded and a little bit, you looked a little bit uncertain about the whole church thing. What was it like coming from a place where you've grown up in church, you've been part of church at the very heart of it, to now finding church as a place where you're nervous to be around?
Yeah, it was really hard, actually. And I thought I wasn't going to find it that hard, and I came to Metro the first time. And as much as it was a lovely place for me, and I did feel everyone was welcoming, I just felt really nervous actually when I was here, and just in the back of my mind was nervous that I think when you grow up, I think Jamie made a really good point about the media, and I think it's that, but also there are a lot of personal encounters you have with people, with Christians who say, no, that's not a good thing, so you come in immediately, or I did at least, of am I going to be accepted here? Even though, yes, as a child, as a teenager, but at that point I wasn't with a woman. So it was a real transition.
Because you're in an unusual position. And what I really appreciate about your story is that you don't seem to fit the categories that people normally put a gay person into. You were someone that was very much in church and actually not positive about same-sex relationships. So what was it like to kind of go from, if you like to call it sides, one side to the other?
Yeah, I think I touched on a bit in the video. It was really hard. It was suddenly, I don't know where I fit anymore. I went from being someone who thought I could go into any church anywhere in the country and feel completely welcome to, I don't know if I could go to any churches and feel welcome. And that was a really hard place to come from. Where I got to the point where I thought I'll have probably quite a personal relationship with God, but that's going to be all I really get, because if I go to a church, I'll have to either kind of pretend that I'm not with Emma, or I'll have to keep it on the down low, or have lots of difficult conversations with people. And yeah, I definitely got to a place where I thought, I'll just have that privately.
Because that, I mean, again, that distresses me. The fact that Jamie talks from being outside the church about being nervous about church, you who've been brought up in the church feeling the same way, what is it about the way that church, the way that we go about this, that's causing so much anguish for people?
I think I very much believed that, not that I would be, you know, shoved out the door and you can't come in here at all, but that there is a, dare I say, a level of arrogance maybe of, oh, you've changed that and you think that and that's fine, but that means you're that type of Christian.
Right.
You're not really a real Christian. You make things easy for yourself.
Okay.
I definitely thought that about people as a teenager, yeah. So I'm not passing judgment on anyone. That was
arrogant? Me?
Yeah, me.
Well, that's interesting. You just touched in the video about doing a bit of research and actually having your mind changed on something. Just tell us, how did you go about that? Because I know you, Alexandra the Great, that you are someone that takes your faith very seriously. How did you actually find out, explore the issue?
So it started with a good old Google, where I basically went, you know, Bible verses and research on same-sex, you know, interpretations of the Bible and looking back at those verses. So, yeah, I definitely did kind of a bit more of a theological look at it. There were a couple of books I read, a bit of stuff online. But, yeah, the biggest thing for me is I very much believe I have a personal relationship with God. So as much as the biblical side of things is very important to me also, even once I'd done all that research and gone, okay, I think, you know, that does make sense to me, I did have to go and kind of put on my big girl shoes and say, right, I've got to go and talk to God about this.
Mm.
Yeah, and that was quite a scary thing to do.
Because I think when we talk about scripture and interpretation, most people will say, if you want to believe that same-sex is okay, then you basically just ignore the Bible. But you took it seriously. We have a couple of the books up. God and the Gay Christian, which is one that you read.
It is indeed.
There's also another book from a friend of ours, Ed Shaw, called The Plausibility Problem, coming from it from a kind of diametrically different viewpoint, but still looking for the church to be loving, welcoming, inclusive. Mm. Was it important for you to find a church that was a strong biblical church? Because you can go to any group of people that, you know, don't necessarily have a high view of Scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was, we've talked about this a little bit, where there are definitely churches, and I'm in no way talking negatively about them, but that they kind of get rid of Scripture and go, that's a bit too difficult, and we're just going to go with God loves us, and we're going to, you know, focus on that. And that is a wonderful thing, and I understand why those churches have been created to create a space for people in same-sex relationships. For me, it was a really big thing. I'd grown up on the Bible. That's something that really meant a lot to me, that I didn't want to get rid of that in my life, because it just, my faith was too based on that to just take that out of it. You couldn't kind of take that out of my faith.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Now, one of the things I've been saying is that we have a church where there's differences of opinion, and because it's not a primary thing, we're not talking about Jesus and the death and his resurrection, we're okay, just like, you know, we can be supportive of one another with a whole range of things. So you're getting married. You're not getting married within Woodlands, because Woodlands has the kind of, certainly where we're at right now, Woodlands group of churches has the kind of the traditional view of marriage. So you're not getting married in the church, and yet we're doing our best to support you. What's it like for you living within that kind of tension?
I'd be lying if I said it wasn't hard. I think there is, I have to go to God about it a lot and go, okay, don't take this as a rejection, because it can feel, you know, like you are being marginalised, you are being treated differently. I definitely personally want to, in the future, once I'm married, be part of discussions for, you know, change in the future. But yeah, that's definitely, it's not an easy thing. That's a hard thing.
Yeah. But living in that tension is just something that we have to navigate. And maybe in time, I don't know, who knows what will happen in time. But right now where we're at, it's this kind of difficult thing. And it's easy to be critical of each other. Do you find yourself tempted to kind of look down on people that have a different point of viewpoint?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think for me it's really so important to, I think because I came from a place where I thought that's not something God thinks is okay, and probably told people that as well, that I think I would be very hypocritical to be judgmental of anyone who does think that. So I think it's just so important to have conversations with people. Like I said in the video, where, okay, we don't see this the same way. Let's try and talk about this in a respectful manner, and not in a way. And I think that does go both ways as well. I think there's more and more people maybe of my generation, not that we're not in the same generation, Philip. But
do you want your knife back?
That kind of go, we really want to accept people who are gay or in the LGBT community. So if anyone says anything negative about that, then I'm going to write you off and I'm not going to talk to you about that. And I think that's so detrimental to the church in general, because, you know, there are differences of opinion, but let's talk about it, and respectfully both ways. Don't write each other off either side, because I definitely know people, I have people in my life who, you know, 5 years ago when I met Emma were at a very different place where they are now, and if I had just said no, I'm done with you, then I would have lost those relationships and lost those people in my life. And now they're at a place, they're not necessarily 100% on board, but they're at a place where, again, this is of first importance and that not so much.
Yeah. Now the thing with you and Jamie that people probably should know is that you're both leaders in the church. So Jamie leads a hub, you're very much part of the worship team. And when we talk about people in ministry, people in leadership, we say we want a leader to be someone that we can say to everyone else, follow them, be like them. And so how has it been for you? Because I think some church leaders are tempted to just say, you're gay, we won't ask anything, we won't require anything, we just put it under the carpet. Was it important for you to be treated the same as everybody else in terms of the standard of behaviour that we look for?
I think definitely. I think that there's you want to be absolutely treated equally, and this is possibly going to be a slight contradiction. I want to be treated exactly the same as everyone else, but at the same time, because of a kind of historical version of the church is negative about same-sex relationships, I do think there's almost... it's a hard job for you because you've got to be slightly more sensitive, but still I want to be treated equally.
Hey, I'm super sensitive. Everyone who knows me knows I'm sensitive.
But yeah, where there is an assumption, I know for me it's something I probably need to work on or need to pray about a bit, but if I meet a Christian, I assume still that they're not going to be okay with me and Emma. And so when that's something that I think a lot of people that I know who are in same-sex relationships, that's the place they come from. So if I meet you and you are in say something that I maybe construe somehow to be negative about my relationship, it might mean a lot more or be a lot more hurtful to me than maybe someone who doesn't come into, I don't know if I'm making sense at all, who no, doesn't come into a conversation with, you know, historical hurt there.
Yeah. So we talk about the tension of holding different viewpoints and different understandings, but the need for us as Christians to be extra sensitive and almost trying to repair some of the historic damage and hurt that's happened.
Yeah.
So, okay, final question. How can we as a church community show you love, show you the support that you need?
Gosh, I like your big final questions, don't you? I think, to be honest, Metro's doing a pretty good job of it. It's just... I remember the first few times I'd mention Emma to people and kind of, you know, side-eye look at what's their face done as I've said that. And there's been no one I have met who has in any way reacted, or they've almost been done that thing of being extra supportive of, by the way, no, I'm okay with that. And I think, you know, oh, thank you, because we were all wondering it. And I think, I think that's kind of the thing of, I think maybe you have to slightly overcompensate a little bit of just, by the way, I, you know, not necessarily say that, but, oh, that's wonderful, and that kind of a thing. But I personally have had great experiences within Metro.
Fantastic. There's so much more that we could say, and, you know, maybe in future times we'll come and talk about this. But really, for us, it's no big deal. We just want everybody to know that every single human being is loved, wanted, as a human being. And our humanity is so much more important than our individual views on particular things. So, again, we want Metro to be known as a church that's crazy about the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, those are the people that believe that God loves everybody, that Jesus died for everybody, that he rose again. And I'd like us to pray that that message would be something that comes out. And I think for anybody that's here watching or watching online, just to know that God loves you, that God cares for you, and he wants a relationship with you. So I'm going to invite us just to pray. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask that God would give us a greater revelation of his love, that we would be people who, more than anything, know the love of God for ourselves and share that love with everybody that we possibly can. So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you that you're a God of love. You've defined yourself by love, not power, not even truth, but love. Lord, that you said that you're a father to us and that we're your precious, dearly beloved children. I want to pray for every single person here who doesn't know that love in a deep, tangible way. I want to pray that they would discover that for themselves. And I want to pray for those of us that call ourselves Christ followers, that we would become increasingly gripped with the love of God, able to share that there would not be any barriers that separate us from each other. Lord, I want to pray for Alexandra, that you would bless her and Emma. I pray for Jamie. I pray that you bless him and that you'd be closer and closer to him. And that you as a community you'd help us, that you would take us forward and make us more radically loving in the name of Jesus. Amen.